In my opinion, in the beginning, it is very important to start with setting a specific question that you want to answer. And on the way towards answering it, avoid getting trapped in endless tuning of tiny details. Because this can get tiring and frustrating, and in the end will discourage you from moving forward with the question itself.
Welcome to the Ocean Missions Campfire Podcast, where we explore ocean protocol, Web3 and blockchain data.
Today we're going to be speaking with Thomas and Milana. They're going to be talking to us about some of the on-chain data analysis work that they did and just step us through some of the kind of pros and cons, the approaches that they went for, and maybe try and help you with your own experience looking at and working with on-chain data for the first time. So thank you for joining us on the podcast today, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Guts. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, well, I was wondering if we could start maybe with you, Thomas, and just tell us a bit about yourself and how you got interested in working with blockchain data.
Yeah, sure. So, well, we are both data scientists and we work as consultants for the pharmaceutical industry. I personally discovered the world of blockchain about 5-6 years ago. My brother-in-law invested into strange things called Bitcoin. Look it up and I found it really cool. Then I invested a bit. I think I bought my first Bitcoins. They were about $500 and Ethereum was 20, something like that. And then I got quickly obsessed by the technology itself and the blockchain technology, I mean. I read a lot about it, trying to understand how it works. And to be honest, it was not immediately clear to me that blockchain offers a vast field of discovery for data scientists like us. I initially just saw it as a ledger for financial transactions. And I think it's only 2-3 years ago that I realized that blockchain is in fact much more than that, and that there is a massive amount of interesting data just waiting to be discovered. So I think that's it for me.
Awesome. And Milana, can you tell us a bit about yourself and how you got interested in working with blockchain data?
I'm also a data scientist, and we work together with Thomas at a company called Pharmalex. Pharmalex, it is a consulting company that provides analytical services to the pharmaceutical industry. For example, we help clients design studies and also analyze their data. So to help them make the most informative decisions from the strategic viewpoint. And a few years ago, I found out about blockchain and I got absolutely obsessed with it. I think it is a revolutionary technology that opens the door into a fairer new world, because it liberates us, it has a potential to liberate us from these parasitic centralized intermediaries. And it is only recently though, thanks to Thomas, that I had an opportunity to get a hands-on experience analyzing the actual on-chain data.
Very cool. And this really is how I connected with Thomas originally, was this work that you're talking about. So I came across an article that was published on the Towards Data Science publication on Medium. That was basically a summary of the work that the two of you were working on. So I was just wondering if you could help those listening just get a quick overview of what that project was and what that was looking at.
In fact, we have two articles. In the first one, we set to simply read the on-chain data. And to read the data from blockchain, first of all, you would need to set up an ETL server. ETL stands for Extract, Transform, and Load. ETL server, it initially takes quite a few steps before you can actually get started with on-chain analysis itself. It can get quite expensive too, since you would need very performant hard drives to store the blockchain database. But fortunately for us, we have discovered that there exist services out there that can provide us with a shortcut. And those are Etherscan, for example, or more recently, the one that appeared more recently is called The Graph. And so what they offer is API functionality to ease the process of retrieving the data in the right format that can be easily processed by statistical software such as R. So in the first article, we describe how to use API tools to download NFT transactions data from the NFT market. In our case, we use OpenSea as an NFT market. We also show some basic exploratory analysis that can be performed on the on-chain. In our case, we made a few simple graphs containing the summary of the transaction prices. So here it is for the first article, and Thomas is going to talk a little bit about the second article.
Thanks, Milena. Yeah, so in the second article, we focused more specifically on tracking NFTs. So unlike Ethereum, Bitcoin, or regular cryptocurrency, or money-related token, I mean, NFTs are unique, and you can actually track each of them individually. And that's what we did. So we decided to track the Weird Whale collection. The Weird Whale are a bit like the CryptoPunk, and the famous CryptoPunk, but with little tiny whales, very cute. So there are a total of about a bit more than 3,000 whales, and each of them has a different combination of attributes, different colors, some have hats, some smoke cigarettes. So we chose that collection because the story behind it is nice. Eh? It was actually created by a 12-year-old boy who started programming when he was 5. That little boy made the bus with his NFT, as well as $500,000 in 2 months, I guess. Yes, it was quite profitable. But so coming back to the article, the first part is about retrieving the data. Again, here we use the Etherscan, so using the API. But I have to say it was way more technical than for the first article, because it involved doing a bit of reverse engineering to understand the OpenSea smart contract. So you can read the smart contract which are stored on the chain, but you need to understand it to be able to know which data you need to extract and how to read them. So then once you have the data, how do you visualize? And that's very challenging because you have so many NFTs, more than 3,000 just for this collection, and so many exchanges between so many wallets. You have a lot of data. So here we used network analysis tool to make fancy animated network plots. And I think that visualization of blockchain data is very challenging because of this huge amount of data. So if you try to plot all the transaction data, you would just get a noisy, unreadable plot. So that's why when you analyze blockchain data, you won't want to work on subset of the data or to find effective ways to summarize it.
So you mentioned that you did the ETL and then sent it to the database. So when you started using the APIs, so say you were using either the Etherscan API or the Graph now, which has obviously become a bit more popular maybe since, are you still having to write a bespoke sort of ETL script, or is that functionality more built into some of those services?
Well, no. So we didn't set up the ETL because the ETL it's a complete server. You need to set up a node which will listen to the blockchain and aggregate all the data and store it in a huge database. So that can be quite complicated. But so with these services like Etherscan, the Graph, and there are many others, it's easy. So you just query the API. Just for example, say I want to listen to the transaction from this address between that date and that date. And the server will send you back the data in a nice formatted way.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there'll be people listening and they're starting their own projects like this. I was just wondering if you could rewind back the clock and to when you were first thinking about this project and some of the things that you were experiencing at the time, or sort of what led you to begin working on it.
I would say that if you're an experienced data scientist and have a basic understanding of how blockchain technology works, you already have the right background to carry out a project like this. If you have no prior experience in data science, however, well, you will need first to learn basic of a stat language. We use R, you can also use Python, there are others, but R and Python are the main programming language for data science. So that it's not that difficult, but there is a learning curve if you have no prior knowledge of programming. Now, regarding what led me work on this project we described, such as the one on following the NFT transaction, one day I just simply got curious about how on earth one gets to read the blockchain data. And it just kicked on from there.
Cool. And so when you started to work on the project, what were the first steps you started to take? And were there sort of any mistakes along the way that stood out to you?
In my opinion, in the beginning, it is very important to start with setting a specific question that you want to answer. And on the way towards answering it, avoid getting trapped in endless tuning of tiny details. Because this can get tiring and frustrating, and in the end will discourage you from moving forward with the question itself. And for instance, I remember me spending hours trying to add little directional arrows in a transaction graph to finally realize that the whole plot was of no use. And that is why my recommendation would be to our listeners to always have a final goal and approach towards achieving it, maybe even written somewhere, because that would help you to avoid getting stuck in unimportant details and focus on the goal that you're trying to achieve or with your project. Yes.
It's interesting. It's not too dissimilar to normal sort of software development where if you don't have a clear goal or intention in mind, that you can easily get led down many different roads.
Yeah, you can waste days and useless thing. But that's not
you
specific.
You have days to spend, yes.
Yeah, it's not specific to blockchain. You're right. It's common for all data science project, I think.
Yeah, but this was a completely new field for us, and there was so much to be discovered. So you can easily diverge and go into every direction, but it is important to have this focus there to know what you're trying to achieve in the end. In our case, it was try to see what are the patterns in the NFT transaction data, and we will get to that later.
And so did you guys write down your question? Well, how did you stay focused on the?
we did not write a question, but it would be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
For the next time.
Yeah, but we are not software developers. We are data scientists, but yeah, the software development is still quite new to us. So we still have a lot to learn there.
Well, not for me, because I did a lot of software.
Oh, okay. You, Thomas used to be a software development.
Well, head of software. I was not writing the software by myself, but I was leading the team. And I still continue to develop interactive web application on a regular basis. So,
okay.
So I'm used to it.
Okay. So it's me then, just.
Okay. Cool. So maybe I was wondering if you could you sort of touched on some of these key pieces, right? So, looking at getting the API and structuring it and making sure you have a question in mind that you're targeting. But is there sort of some key, stages that you would break it down into that we haven't already covered?
Well, if I had to summarize the main step, I would say there are three. And that's not different from other data science projects. It's not specific to blockchain, but I would say that the first part is getting the data and cleaning them. So getting the data, it can take quite some time the first time you work with blockchain to get used to this API or to set up your ETL. So once you did it once, you will be easier for the next project. So once you have the data, of course, the second part is to perform the analysis, and the third part is to write a report or an article to describe what you did, just as what you would do with another data science project. Though regarding the tool we use, I think we mentioned it briefly, but for data scientists, there are two main languages, R and Python. So here we use only R because we are used to it. That's the language we use on a daily basis for work. And for the one who are not familiar with it, it's a functional programming language extensively used by statisticians and data scientists, as I mentioned. And when it comes to data analysis, offer endless possibilities. So you can do everything with R. Data, management, plotting, modeling, web application, reporting. It's open source and easy to learn. And there's a big, huge community which developed thousands of packages to enhance the functionality. So whatever analysis you would want to perform, it's very likely that someone already developed a package for it. So as I mentioned, we did everything with R, downloading the data using the API, doing the data management, the analysis, of course, and even the reporting. We write our article using R Markdown to produce nice HTML report. So finally, once we are done, we just push everything on GitHub, so it's saved somewhere in the cloud and it can be used by the community.
I was wondering if you could maybe, so you obviously got the data and then started to do some analysis on it. Can you maybe share some of the discoveries that you made once you started to do some of the analysis work?
So for example, when we looked at the Weird Whales NFTs transactions data, we have discovered that there are some interesting patterns in the evolution of NFT prices over time. And those can be linked to social media attention to Weird Whales. Straight after NFTs are minted, minting is the event of creating a new NFT on the blockchain. There is a period of intense price growth. Then a quieter period follows when the prices drop, followed again by price increase. And the latter is clearly associated with an intense activity on the social media around Weird Whale collection. So this is what is very interesting. There are some cycles in the data. So you see ups and downs, and yes, those can be linked back to what is happening behind the scenes in the social media. But of course, this pattern is very specific to the Weird Whale collection, and other collections may show different behavior. We don't know because we haven't looked at other collections. But regarding the Weird Whales one, yes, so this is the pattern that we observed, that the ups and downs are linked to the social media attention to the collection. And also, I was surprised by the number of transactions that we retrieved from the blockchain, though only we looked at one single NFT collection, which was recent, by the way. So as Thomas mentioned, it is very challenging to visualize so much data, and there is a field of discovery. There are a lot of opportunities to be made in terms of developing new visualization tools that are tailored to on-chain data visualization.
What has been the response since you published the article? Have you been surprised by the response you've gotten?
Well, I think we can say it's been a success. We receive many questions and positive feedback. There are also every day new followers, which is, I think, a good sign. And yeah, just to give a comparison, previously we had written a few articles on pharmaceutical process. That's the domain in which we work during the day. That's our work. But I have to say that the number of you for the two recent blockchain-related articles is order of magnitude above the one about pharmaceutical processes.
So that people are not interested.
People are more interested in NFTs than pharmaceutical processes. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Yeah, it's clear that there's a strong interest in doing data science on blockchain.
We see clearly that there is a lot of attention to our articles, even though, again, we are not a specialist, we are kind of amateurs at this stage, but already now our work attracts so much attention. It's incredible. Yeah.
And you can see also this trend, and there are more and more startups working on data science and on-chain analysis, and that's clear.
Yes. That's the future.
Very cool. And are you guys looking to do some more blockchain data analytics projects?
Well, so at the moment, we're looking at the Allium blockchain. So for the one who doesn't know that blockchain very briefly, it's a blockchain that leverages a decentralized global network of hotspots. So let me explain. A hotspot is a sort of a modem with an antenna, and it provides a long-range connectivity between wireless device that we often call IoT device, Internet of the Thing. This device can be environmental sensors to monitor air quality or for agricultural purpose. It can be also localization sensor to track bike fleets. So there are many applications and many of these little devices. So here it's interesting because people are incentivized to install hotspots by earning Helium token. So they install this, they buy this hotspot, they install it, and then they earn money. And this is what allows the network to increase its coverage. So that's a very successful project. I think, 1-2 months ago, we were about 500,000 hotspots in the world, and it's just growing exponentially. So I personally like this project because it has a practical use. It's not just about finance like many other blockchain projects. It has real world applications. So I have one hotspot 2 meters away from me. So we have
which
one.
Which is making money already.
Yeah, which is making money.
But so. In Helium.
Yeah, but that's quite profitable, I have to say. But so looking back, I would say that looking at Helium data is a whole new step. It's not a simple curiosity. I believe people need metrics and statistics to take good decisions. I hope they will find work useful. So to come back to your question, our present goal in regard to Helium project is to visualize the growth of the network and to quantify its usage. So this time it's a bit harder to get the data because to visualize the growth of the network, you need of course the data from time zero up to now. So you need all historical data for all hotspots in the world. So that means that basically you need to retrieve the full blockchain. And this is, once it's in a database loaded and running, it's several terabytes of data. So you cannot rely just on API and send a query to an API and receive a small data table. Here it's just order of magnitude bigger, the size of the database.
Yeah, there's another scale, basically.
Yeah. But so stay tuned.
With Helium, is the, I assume, only a subset of the actual data is being recorded to the blockchain, or does the Helium node record, you know, device unique ID, time of usage, and all of that sort of stuff as well?
So yeah, it's you have a little hotspot. So each hotspot, each little model with an antenna, it act as a node, but they don't store all the blockchain, of course, because it's terabytes of data. And you have on the other side, you can set up a bigger node which will record all the data. And these nodes have all the database from the beginning. Yeah.
So those nodes are also picking up the usage stats, for example. So if there's someone that's connecting, someone has a device nearby that then is going to be, you know, leveraging the frequency coming off that aerial, that is all being recorded as well. So essentially when you have the historical data, can you start to, you know, build a map of all the usage on there? Or what's the kind of, have you had a chance to kind of get an idea of the level of granularity to the data that you can get from the Helium network?
Well, we are at a very early stage of this analysis, but yes, so the blockchain records all the transactions. So when a device connects to your hotspot, it will transfer some data. I don't think what is transferred by the device is saved on the blockchain. But for sure, what is saved on the blockchain is that there was a transfer from a device. And of course, this transfer generates a reward in terms of Helium token. And that is saved on the blockchain. And also, you have another layer, which is the coverage of the network. So to ensure that your hotspot is useful, it will communicate with other hotspots. And so if it can communicate with other hotspots, it means that your hotspot is set up at a good place. And then you reward it for having a hotspot at a good place. And so all this transaction reward are saved on the blockchain. So you can really filter the reward by, is it a reward due to a good coverage or because you transferred You receive the data from an IoT device. All this is recorded, yes.
Very cool. Yeah, so you can actually infer quite a bit just from looking at the how the rewards are distributed and earned by the nodes, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're an interesting project. There are also people who try to cheat. So they place the hotspot. They say that the hotspot is somewhere on the map while it's not. And their goal is just to get some money. So they try to, yeah, and it's possible to detect these hotspots. So there are a lot of nice things to do about it. Nice data science project there.
We're only scratching the surface.
Yeah.
Very cool. Hey, so, well, thanks for discussing this work with us. And it sounds like you've got some pretty interesting stuff to come. If people are wanting to learn more about your work and potentially see future projects, where should they go?
Well, I think the easiest is to follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter. Also, maybe you can subscribe to our Medium account to not miss the next article. And the address is https://medium.com/@TDMartin. And TDMartin is TDEMARCHIN.
Perfect. We'll have links to those as well.
Thanks so much for joining us. Since recording this episode, Thomas and Milana have published their article on the Helium Network, and that's live on Medium now. We've added links to that in the show notes. If you'd like to do some on-chain data analysis, you can head along to oceanmissions.com and learn more about the work we're doing there. Thanks for listening.